allegiance. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for being here, bringing us here today. Please be with the families in California who were affected by the tragedy. Please be with our veterans as we approach Veterans Day. Please be with our city employees. Please be with our residents. Please guide our meeting this evening. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Lehman?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Here.
Mayor
here.
We have a
quorum. I just touched it. Then they say it's usually when a lightning strikes somebody that's really positive.
Yeah.
Item 5, citizens' participation. We have no one to signed up to speak this evening. Item 6A, regular meeting minutes. I will entertain a motion for action on these minutes.
Make a motion we accept October 25th.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Lehman, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept the meeting minutes of October 25th. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand.
Abstain.
Do you have all those, Tracy? Okay.
Just don't raise your hand.
Item 7A, approval of quarterly investment report for period ending September 2018. I will entertain a motion.
Whoever it is, I make a motion.
Make a motion we accept the quarterly investment report for the period ending September 2018.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to approve the quarterly investment report for period ending September 2018. I will just allow our city manager just to brief us on that.
So the investment report was emailed out. This is our final one for the prior fiscal year. And so we still have money.
That's good to hear.
Do you have anything you want to add, Tina?
The only other thing I wanted to add was you'll just see the bond was added into text pool, and that's why our text pool account is so big, and that's because the bond's in there.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Grant. Is there any further discussion? Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes. Yeah.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Item 8A, the Economic Development Committee Annual Report. Jackie. We have Jackie and Mr. Garcia. The floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everyone. We are very, very happy to report our fiscal year end of report. And our committee this year has, this past fiscal year, has Councilman Jerry Lehman, Diego McLean, Corey Mobley, Jose Garcia, and myself. So I wanted to have a chance for everyone to have an opportunity to hear what we've done this year and what we want to do next year, and also opportunities for both Councilperson Lehman and also Mr. Garcia to add anything. So a quick overview as far as what we've been able to accomplish. There is an active website with the City of Kirby. We do have a tab, And the tab is www.kirbytx.org, and it has /development. And with that, we have several subsets, which we're very proud of, and we want people to continue to not only go on the websites, but also contribute. And one of them is our business directory. And right now, we have 5 businesses that have placed information, including councilpersons, cleaners. So thank you. So we are really pushing to have more input. We actually have 16 categories. And I think as we economically continue to grow, it's going to be important to keep that business directory up and running, because we're going to have more people who are going to be investing and also looking at Kirby. So perhaps we can make another effort to perhaps go around to some of the businesses and just tell them all you need to do is to go to the website and download or upload your information, and you're part of that. And we have 16 categories, and I think the categories cover just about everything. We have 1 business in automotive, 2 in business services, 1 in retail, and 1 in worship. So that's good to go. Also, and in addition to that, we also have had 2 grand openings, 1 with Gonzalez Automotive Services, and the other was the second phase for the Kirby Puppy Power, yes, 2. And we were very pleased. We're almost running out of ribbon for the ribbon cutting ceremonies, and we're glad to have that. And we have some more coming up, obviously, with several of our entities here. And Jose can bring us up to speed as far as our welcome to Kirby signage.
Hi, hello, good evening, Councilman, Mayor, all attendants. We are in the process of trying to get our first sign to welcome the people that come to our city. It's my understanding we're waiting for the 4 engineer to give us a plan. We have got in touch with TxDOT. We have the city approval on $6,000 budget. So we're moving along. We're very excited about that project. Once we get that installed, we really would like to install the other signs in the other entrance of the city. We have a participation from CPS that also had contribute, and also the city staff has really been very helpful on that. So we're making some progress, and we're looking forward, hopefully, to complete that no later than the end of the year.
Okay, so additional activities that we've had, we have reinstated the quarterly Kirby Business Alliance, and we just had a meeting earlier this week. And we're very pleased with the turnout. Slowly but surely, we are building our population. 3 of our participants are here tonight, and thank you very much. So we're going to continue to look at that as an opportunity to be able to really promote our businesses. And also, in conjunction, each one of our Business Alliance meetings have had a theme. So in one theme, we had Kathy Fogel come out from a project that the Alamo Community College District, along with the Texas Workforce Commission, had to provide either low-cost or no-cost training for owners. And for the 2 occasions, we ended up having that particular activity at the fire station's conference hall, conference room. And not only did we have Wing It, but we had also some other companies who participated. We also have continued to We also have continued to have our facade program, and Wing It for the 2nd year ended up with receiving some reimbursements, and up to $1,500, and it's 80%. And so we really want more of our businesses to go online and also print out that facade program application, and please, please, please submit. We have year-round application components. We don't have any deadlines for that. Let's see. Also, we had, and Corey can talk more about this, Corey was responsible for one of our meetings where we had Barbara Gervin Hawkins give us more or less the state of the Northeast Corridor, and specifically Kirby. Corey, do you want to talk a little bit about that one?
Sure. There is a major project happening over in off of East Commerce Street. In layman's term, they're building a quarry over off of East Commerce Street. It's going to be about 20 acres over there. But what that does is going to bring a lot of jobs. It's displacing a lot of the residents in that area. They have to move somewhere. And my premonition is they're going to move this way towards Kirby area. So we did have Sister Hawkins come, or Mr. Hawkins come in and kind of display what they were doing over there. And then it kind of created a relationship with our city manager and the city office, just so they can see some other things that, that her office as a representative could do for this area as well. So it came in with one intention and it ended up with another intention, which I think is a win-win for us.
And in conjunction with that, I was at a meeting or a luncheon earlier this week where Tommy Calvert talked about some of his accomplishments, and he mentioned the partnership between Kirby and Bexar County with the animal control component. He also did mention Kirby several times to say that, again, the Northeast Corridor, specifically, our cities are going to have a little bit more representation and perhaps assistance. So, basically, also, we asked our participants this earlier this week as far as topics for our continued quarterly business alliance meeting. So we're going to have representatives from some of the utilities and some of the transportation components come out and talk about how they can work with Kirby and with our businesses to help them grow, especially around transportation, CPS, and et cetera. So we're going to continue to work with that. Gentlemen, do you have anything else to add?
We took care of that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess one thing that I would like to mention, since our committee is, like the other committees, plays a very important role in the city development and progress, we would like for you all to give us a feedback and see if you all would like us to do something else or something different or add something to our agenda, and we really will be very glad to work on that if you all have any suggestions for our committee. Thank you.
And thank you also for the continued council support, and we do have a representative who comes to our meetings. So that more or less wraps up our presentation. Do you have any questions?
I'd like to allow Councilmember Lehman to also, from your standpoint, too.
Yes.
As far as the sign and Grosbeck Masonry.
Well, we're, right now, as far as the sign is concerned, we're hung up on getting our plans and stuff from the engineer. And then from there, it's got to go back to TxDOT. Mm-hmm. And once TxDOT okays it, then the committee's going to have to come back to the city and start all over, because the money that was allocated is no longer there. We've got to look at the new budget.
It's there.
It's there.
And go from there. So
it rolled over, did it?
No, it don't roll over.
The economic development line item, we budgeted $10,000 again this fiscal year. Mm-hmm. So we looked at the motion itself did not say the sign had to be paid for out of last fiscal year. So we will still be able to use that line item of this year's budget. But But I do have one question, if maybe the committee can answer this for me. The engineer is ready to go ahead and submit the final plans, but he needs to know the size and the materials that the letters are going to be made out of to include in his plans.
Already.
Okay. So if you guys have that information, then you can send that to me. And we can finalize that
problem. And I think Councilperson Lehman has, and also
Garcia is the one that was working as far as the letters is concerned. I think we've talked about 6-inch letters. I don't think we've actually said anything about the thickness. I'm just assuming it's either going to be a quarter or 3/8 steel letters, and they'll just be painted black. That's the way they're going to be mounted on the sign.
Well, can the two of you or three of you work on that so that we can get that information to our city manager? Because our goal is to have the first signage up this fiscal year and as fast and as early as we can, because we have enough information now to move on to be able to make sure that we have, that welcome to Kirby on FM 78. And I think we should have a ribbon cutting for that one also. So we're going to have a lot of ribbon cuttings, I think, this fiscal year.
Jackie, I'm going to say something, and y'all are going to be all mad at me to no end.
Not necessarily.
But we keep talking about ribbon cutting and all of these ceremonies. We've had them, but who knows about it? It's never been put in the paper. Nobody knows anything about it, so.
And that is.
What good does it do us to have these ribbon cutting openings, and nobody knows anything about it, but us couple people?
Well, that's one of the things that we also discuss from a city standpoint is marketing, because just with not only EDC but really any activity that any committee does, Barbara is actually here with beautification and. You know, they have a street cleanup every first Saturday. So those are some of the things that we've also talked about how we can get those with the ribbon cutting. I do think that when they're done on a weekend, that it makes it a little bit easier to, number one, get everybody there. Just because when they're during the day, it makes it a little bit difficult. I wasn't able to go to the Gonzales Automotive because that was during the day. However, I was able to make it to Puppy Power because that was on a weekend. So I think that, which I'm really encouraged about the lines of communication with not only EDC, but every other group that we have. I mean, the EDC, you know, basically it was like a phoenix. You know, it came out of the ashes, really. So, you know, you guys hit the floor running. So I was extremely encouraged, and I've been able to go to two of the Business Alliance meetings, and there was a lot of really good conversation and really viable information. Just with the sign that you guys are talking about, Jody with Puppy Power actually said that when she advertises her business, that people think that Kirby is actually somewhere else, that it's extremely far away. So then when she explains, no, we're right here, then it's like, oh, I never knew that it was there. So these are the kinds of things that we're trying to put our feelers out to get on the map as well. But Jerry, that is actually one of the things that not only working with what you said about the ribbon cuttings, but so many other things in the city as well. Those ribbon cuttings were on, I saw flyers as far as, I mean, the information was here. Gonzales Automotive themselves was actually promoting their ribbon cutting. Jody did the same thing on Facebook, on social media. Again, I understand that social media is not the end all, be all of the communication, but those are the things that are in the works. So we're trying to find out too how we can get that information out, because sometimes the information is out, but you know, people don't tend to take it. So, and it was on the,
every time we have a ribbon cutting, I send a press release to all the media outlets. So it goes to news, newspaper, and radio. And on the social media, we even tagged those sites. They didn't show up. So afterwards, with the one with For Puppy Power, I submitted the photo and information and asked, can you do a story on this? And they just didn't. So we are trying, because we would love for the media to be here for those ribbon cuttings. That's how the wedding is outside of the city, too.
What about Jeff?
Jeff was on the invitation list as our contact for the
emergency. I know where he works.
So I mean, I absolutely agree with you. And unfortunately, that's one of those things that we just have to figure out what the niche is to get that, involved.
And I think we just have to plug away at it. So, Jerry, no, I mean, there's no hard feelings about what you said, because we know that it's a struggle. However, I really think that with QT coming, that may be also another opportunity for us to be able to start growing that marketing and PR. So we're not going to give up, you know.
And we have a wonderful faith-based community as well.
Yes.
I mean, so, we're very fortunate to have the churches of all different faiths in our community as well that can also disseminate information to their congregations. So
that's one reason why with our makeup of our committee, we wanted to have business owners. We also wanted to have a faith-based representation, because it's a very important part of the community. So again, growing pains will continue. We're not going to stop. So are there any other questions or comments?
Nope. I just wanted to say thank you to the committee, Jerry. All of you guys that are, doing whatever you can in the spare time that you have, and continuing to show up to your meetings and meeting and,
yes,
hammering those things out, and because I know it's not easy. So I want to thank you guys for that.
Well, thank you also. And we'll continue to march on. Thank you.
Mr. Garcia?
Yes. Ms. Monique, going back to your question,
thank you.
Triple S... is a steel company here in San Antonio, and they're the one that are going to provide the letters for the sign. It's a Triple S is the name of the company. So I mean, it's I can contact them and submit that to you, but just to let you know, we're ready. If that's the question, it's just going to take me maybe a couple of phone calls. Okay, so yeah, we're working on that. And also, we all have to know that our committee, the way I feel it in the city, the way I'm feeling myself in this as a volunteer on this committee, we're on the baby steps. So it's going to take time for us to be really noticeable. The important thing is the participation of all of us and your support. It will make a difference.
And I guess I have one other question. Frequency, as far as our giving our Economic Development Committee reports, do you want it quarterly, semi-annual, or annually, It's whatever.
I personally prefer quarterly.
Quarterly.
Okay.
But I mean, that's really up to. I mean, that really would be up to you guys and your time availability. So, I just like quarter, because that at least gets you those 3 months, and
yeah,
then you can.
Well, we can certainly do that. All right. Thank you very much.
Did anyone else have any questions for anybody? All right. Item 8B. This is the discussion and possible action on swimming pool management proposal. I will turn this over to our city manager.
So we currently have our pool management contract with San Antonio Pool Management. The cost for the current contract is $44,050. That contract does not expire until November 30th. So in preparing for this fiscal year's budget, since the contract overlapped, we did budget that same amount this year. However, the new proposal we requested was for 2 years, and so there is a slight increase, and I'll explain to you what the differences are. So for 2019, the proposal, the cost that they're submitting is $44,750. And for 2020, it's $47,090. The difference in that is that in the summer is slightly different. We go off of the Judson ISD school calendar. So if you notice in this year's school calendar, school actually gets out a little bit sooner. And so we want to continue to open our pool Memorial Day weekend and keep it open through Labor Day. And so that added a couple of days for this year. Now for 2020, the calendar is really different. There are two more days added to the pool season in 2020, which creates another week of them having to do chemicals and maintain the pool, get it ready for swimming. So that was the more of a significant increase from the 2019 and the 2020 price. But everything else is the same. They would continue to handle all of the chemicals, cleaning of the pool, maintenance, hiring and training lifeguards, staffing the pool, and that would be year-round. So even while the pool's closed, like currently, they still go out and maintain the pool for us.
Did we happen to ask about swimming lessons, like whether or not, I mean, I know it's in here, but we talked about it before, and it didn't really
transpire. So what they explain is that you can go, when you go on their website, you can sign up for swimming lessons. And if we get enough people to sign up for lessons, we can hold them at our pool.
Okay.
But they're able to.
Did they give us a threshold? Because I didn't notice that there was a threshold of how many that they actually had to have through here. Can you find that out? Yeah, I mean, I would be curious because maybe that's a, you know, that's a point that we can also make. Hey, if we have this many people, or you know, at least we know what target number we're looking for.
And also age groups.
Yes,
we need to advertise that we're offering swimming lessons.
And that's because I would like if we at least had a target number, then when we're advertising, we could at least say, but we need this many, you know, this many for that. To actually
this age range,
yeah,
so forth.
Yes.
And then you just run them consecutively on those days.
And then I know that you had mentioned that we only had one season pass, but did we talk about, and I know that's not them, but did we talk about offering that?
Yeah, I mean, you all mentioned if we want to offer season passes, we need to put it back into our ordinance because we pulled that out of our park ordinance. But we did talk about how many we received. We went back and looked.
We only had one
prior year.
Right. But it's not, I mean, it wouldn't hurt. I mean,
it won't affect them. I mean, we would just show them what the pass looks like and they would honor them if we, you know.
Right. But what I was saying is we would have, since we took it out completely out of the ordinance, we would actually have to go back to put in and it would cost an additional. For us to go through the legal part. Okay. Is there, that's what I was gonna, is there any, and we, I know that there was an issue with the days, there was Labor Day or, July 4th, I think it was.
Days, the calendar they were using was a different school district initially. So when our contract was created, they weren't looking at Judson ISD dates. So we have that straightened out.
Yeah, it was July 4th.
It was July 4th, right, I think.
Yeah, now in the agreement, it says that they're open on July 4th.
Right.
We had a discussion about them. If the city were to decide to have a July 4th event, we would just close that day and they're fine with it.
Okay. And everything still goes through them if they need to. If anybody wanted to pull parties.
Facility rentals for us as well during the pool season.
Basically, it's the same thing, just the addition of the additional days.
Correct.
I make a motion.
This would be a two-year agreement.
Which I think is, yeah.
I make a motion, we accept it.
Second.
That was Debbie.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson to accept the swimming pool management proposal. Do we need the cost?
No, just the dates.
Okay. The effective December 1, 2018 for the 2019 and 2020 pool years, extending from December 1, 2018 through November 30th, 2020.
That works.
I sound like you said 30th.
November 30th?
3rd. Correct?
November 30th, 2020?
Well, no, I'm saying it says here November 3rd, 2020.
Yeah. Right, but it should be November 30th, right?
It should be the
30th. Huh?
Is it listed incorrectly?
Okay, we got a 3 or a 3-0.
On the first page, okay, it's on there. December 1, 2018 to November 30th, 2020.
Yes. Yes. All right. All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary, will Tracy please call roll?
Yes.
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 But just related to the pool company, they also do leak detection. And so what we've noticed over the last couple of summers is that our pool was losing a lot of water, which was costing us money. So we went ahead and engaged them to do the leak detection. They found 2 leaks in the pool so far. So they are going to give us a proposal to repair those leaks as well. So that's just another service that company offers that's been helpful to us.
Very cool. So, all right, item 8C, discussion and possible action on resolution number R-2018-704 of the City of Kirby City Council for the adoption of the City of Kirby Cafeteria Plan. Tina?
We have this every year. All we're doing is we're changing the date for the cafeteria plan for the new fiscal year for October 1st, 18 to September 30th, 2019. Nothing's changed other than the date.
I thought it was just about food.
Insurance.
All right. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make the motion to accept the action on the resolution number R-2018-704 of the City of Kirby City Council to adopt the City of Kirby Cafeteria Plan.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Audrey, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to accept resolution R-2018-704 of the City of Kirby City Council for the adoption of the City of Kirby Cafeteria Plan for the period beginning October 1, 2018 and ending September 30th, 2019. Is there any discussion? Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember
Layman? Yes.
Councilmember
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Resolution R-2018-704 passes. Item 8D, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-850, repealing existing Chapter 91 of the Code of Ordinances and adopting a new Chapter 91 entitled Animals to set out provisions as to animals, including an animal shelter, animal control officers licensing, animal bites and animal care, spaying and neutering, rabies control, adoption of animals, fees, enforcement, and related matters, and setting a fine not to exceed the amounts set out in Section 1099 of the Code of Ordinances for each violation. I will entertain a motion to table this item.
Mayor, I make a motion we table this item until the proper city and others can review this.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Grant to table ordinance number O-2018-850. Is there any discussion? Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember
Wilson? Yes.
Councilmember
yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right. That ordinance O-2018-850 will be tabled. Will that be brought up for our next? Okay. So that will be tabled until our next meeting on November 29th. Item 8E, reports by council members and staff on their experiences during the 2018 TML conference. I will start with Councilmember Apodaca.
We went to several lectures on several subjects, but on Wednesday, we went to one called How to Advocate for Your City. That one, it was directed mostly on towards bigger cities, so there really wasn't anything that they were talking about budgets of millions of dollars. And I was kind of like, this was not really a good choice. I mean, there were some good things in there that I heard, but that one kind of didn't really apply to us. And we went to another one. It was called Small Cities Roundtable on Economic Development. That one was really good. Now, again, our city's a lot smaller than some of the cities that they were that were represented. They were talking about economic development budgets of, again, $250,000, and I'm like, ours isn't anywhere close to that. But we met some people there, and they were talking about how they deal with issues, and I think me and you went to that one, right? Was just me. And that one was I really liked. I got some good information on that one. And then we went to another one on Thursday, and it was called Ethics in a World of Social Media. That one was really interesting. There were strategies on how to handle people that were posting negative or derogatory things on Facebook, and how to respond to them. And one big thing that caught my attention was, a lot of times when someone starts up something negative on, for example, Facebook, we kind of were tending to ignore it, but they were saying that we needed to address it, not to just let it go, not to just ignore it. So I think that was one really good point that I picked up.
Was there something, as far as that, was there something that they, like material that you were able to take, or was it more of a class that, for outside of TML?
No, I don't think
I was almost on that. One thing that, and I haven't looked it up yet, but a book suggestion that came out of that one was called The Circle, and it talked about being aware of a walking quorum, because they said that's something that can happen in social media sites. I wrote that down as a resource. They did say you can go on the TML website and you can pull the PowerPoints from the various workshops as well.
Cool.
I was going to say, almost every time they have it on TML, it's all the subjects.
Okay, yeah, I think that's great information, so if there's something that's available to us for that, I would be interested in getting that information.
And normally you can look up the lecture and the context of any of the classes you went to. And did you find any speed bumps?
Yeah.
Cool.
Another thing also, we were networking, and I, since it was my first time going, I met a lot of people, and I was able to piece together some things, and so I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to going again.
Awesome. Councilmember Wilson?
Yeah. Well, Sylvia and I kind of went together to most of the meetings, and the economic development one was really interesting, but a lot of them referred back to the older towns who have downtown
districts,
you know, and so they were talking about how the oil people are able to buy the buildings and turn around and sell them again for a different price, which I, you know, I've been texting Timothy and I'm saying, hey, I didn't know that we could buy these properties. I didn't know the city could buy property.
Sure.
And sell. But you have, it's a certain number, I forgot what it is, that you have to be or not.
Yeah.
But the city of Kirby isn't.
We got the old butcher shop.
But they were buying the older properties, towns, and fixing up the buildings and then selling them to people who wanted an already made building. You know, and they were saying, well, they have so much money that they can do whatever they want to do, which I thought was kind of nice because, again, you have the oil people who are in their cities. And then the media was really good, you know, because just, you know, if you ignore them, then you aggravate people because you're not saying anything to them. Then if you say something, then somebody else is going to jump in on what you say. And so, you know, you just don't know what to do about it all. But, and also at the meetings, they have an area where you can walk around and get information. And one of the things that I picked up was for special handicap needs for children for playground equipment. I think that we have nice areas for playgrounds, but they're not handicap accessible. If you have a child in a wheelchair, if you're at the big park, you can't push through the rocks in a wheelchair to go play. And probably the only one that they could maybe get to would be the one off of, not even by my house, because my house has that nasty stuff too.
Nacho Park.
Nacho's Park is probably the only one. And then at that point, none of them, they're not handicapped accessible. And I know that Kirby has several families that would use something like that. So, and so there's lots and lots of equipment out there that I'm sure it costs a lot of money, but I think that maybe we should talk to the Parks and Recreation to see if maybe they could put that into their budget to look into one or two things for water. Okay. It's your turn. Besides, I hated Dallas's airport.
So the two that were most interesting to me were both on social media. The first one was social media marketing, and the other one was the ethics in social media. And I just wrote down some notes from both of them that I thought were interesting. So I did not know that it says social media is subject to the Public Information Act. Mm-hmm. And that personal and city social media accounts can be subject to those public records requests, whether it's if you're talking about city information on your personal page or if you're posting city information on the city's page and you're just responsible for that account. Then they said one thing you need to definitely do is on your pages, you need to have a message that tells people when the site is monitored and when they can expect a response. So one thing I did when I returned was went on our page and put that this page is not monitored 24/7. You know, if you have an emergency, you need to contact 911 or call dispatch. Because we do get a lot of messages that people will post something multiple times and say, why isn't anybody responding? So that would help combat that issue.
Because we don't like you.
The other thing was that it said always respond to a comment. Whether it's negative, whether it's incorrect information, that you should always respond. It said never delete, ban, or block anyone unless it was inappropriate. And that should be a message in your page that talks about we've reserved the right to delete your comment if it's inappropriate. But other than that, it said you really should allow people to post whatever they like. One tip was to personalize your responses. Another one was to determine who exactly is responsible for each page. So a lot of the people who were on the panel about the social media marketing had one person that's designated to do marketing, and they do the social media marketing, and then they have a backup person. But then there was another city where they have one person from every department who's responsible for posting things related to their department. So is it just really whatever works for your city, but you need to have designated people. And then a couple of other things that I thought were interesting in the ethics one was it said that, you know, your constitutional rights apply to social media, and that fake accounts, even for law enforcement, can violate the terms of social media policies. So you need to have a policy in place for that. Like, for example, if you have undercover officers who create a page under a fake name because maybe they're trying to find a perpetrator, that really could violate the terms of Facebook. So in a sense, it's illegal unless you have a policy in your department that says you have the right to do those things. That was interesting.
That is interesting.
And then another note said, you know, refer people back to the facts. So even when they post something negative or inaccurate, you can always say, you know, go to our website under this tab and you'll find that information, or, you know, go to this section and you'll find that information. And then the last couple of notes was don't rely on social media as your main platform because it's owned by someone else.
So I say you need to still have a city website or some other method of getting information out, because people tend to think social media is where they get all of the information. And a month from now, Facebook could be gone, Twitter could be gone. We don't own those things, and then you've lost all of that information.
Very cool. It is your turn. You learned lots.
Huh?
You learned lots.
Lots. Well, good evening, Mayor, Council, and I wanted to thank you all for the opportunity to go to TML. There was one that really stuck out to me, and that's the small cells that they're looking to put up out here in all over Texas or all over the place. They already passed the bill. And it's one of those things that it is coming, and we can't really do anything about it other than set up our ordinances and prepare our city for just aesthetics, just to make sure that they don't put poles out there with all kinds of different this and that on top of them. And there's a total of four carriers that are going to be working on that, but those carriers also have those subcontractors that are going to be laying everything in there, and then they have another subcontractors that's going to be working on it. So in the mix of everything, whenever that does come, it's going to be kind of confusing. They have certain rights to where if they submit a permit, they have X amount of days to get that for us to respond. That's when the shot clock starts. If we don't respond within that time frame, they can pretty much do whatever they want. They can do what they want in our easements as long as we don't have anything in place. I've also been in talks with, and a lot of this relates to these meetings that I've been going to with CPS. So I got a lot of information from there, and as well as the workshop that I went to. Houston was the pilot program, I believe, that they're working on right now. They're trying to get all the kinks. And with the big cities, they're being very proactive, the carriers with the big cities, and they're kind of working things out to kind of figure out what's the best way to hide, you know, all that technology. And when I was kind of sitting in there, I kind of had a really good idea of what was going on, what we were looking at in the future. And then I did have an opportunity after TML to go and see the actual setups that Verizon and AT&T that they're doing over at CPS. So kind of put two and two together. Basically what I got from it is that we just have to prepare ourselves as a city, and that it's coming regardless of anything.
How did the communication, is it because you said we have only a certain amount of time to respond. So is it an official communication? They actually come to City Hall?
They would come to City Hall. Well, actually, they would talk to probably Monique or myself and kind of coordinate or let us know, hey, we're going to be coming into the city. We're going to want to put, a cell here, a cell there. And we need to have an ordinance in place that says, okay, you can't put them within 150 feet or something like that. So they're going to come and put a permit to put that in our right-of-way, which they're going to do it anyway if we don't respond to them within that time.
Do we have Mark addressing that already?
Right. But because there's been a lot of losses now with the 5G technology, and there's even been cities that have been ordinances that it's not allowed. In the state of Texas.
They addressed that as well in the lawsuits that, and I believe it's the same subject in the same group of cities. It's going to go all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the law was already passed. So while it's going up to Supreme Court, they're going to be able to do whatever they want until it gets there and they make a judgment.
We can't discuss all of these pieces because this is just an overview of TML. Yep. So we can at least put this information for discussion on, so we can.
Oh, please, we need to.
That way we can discuss it in full, because right now we can't, because it's just over the TML piece of it.
So there was a lot of good information on that, and it was there was a lot of topics that were brought up. A lot of other city officials brought up a lot of good points. Myself, I asked them. I had a question. This was after the initial workshop. I talked to a gentleman from Houston, and I believe his name was Christopher, and I was asking him, well, they're going to set this up. Okay, we need to set up ordinances to make sure that they remove the technology? And he said, yes, they're moving forward with that too. So there's a lot of those big cities there that I was able to talk to, along again with CPS, where they have everything in place where we can kind of either use their ordinances and adapt them to our needs, and they're more than willing to help. So it was a good, very informative, and it kind of all went together with what I've been doing with CPS recently. So
yeah, I would definitely like to have that as an agenda item so that we can discuss it completely.
Well, yeah, we need to be real quick. Yes. I noticed on Charles Conrad, what is the flags? Is that utility or is that AT&T that's flagging?
Fiber optic.
It is fiber. Okay, so who is it?
I believe it's AT&T, yeah.
Okay, because we need to get it in place now about replacing grass,
yeah.
Things you wouldn't even believe. Right. The good thing is I work with those contractors every day and watch what they do to some people.
So we'll, if we can bring that one definitely with November 29th, and then we can that information and all those questions and all that, yep. So that we can, don't leave because you've got the next one.
Yeah.
so that we can have all of that information and all of those questions answered and explored.
Yes, they've been having these workshops and sessions ongoing.
Real quick, there's one thing that I watched several times. The other day, well, it's been about 2 months, I was in South New Braunfels. And there's a CPS guy and an AT&T guy. They won two strands 100 feet up. And they argue that the next pole doesn't work. So now the next one, the 200 feet, the guy has to come in and drill underground. So you need to know that right now, and we need to get in on this, there's an ongoing battle between AT&T and CPS on the use of their poles and attaching. Everything above is electrical. And then when it drops down, and then you have what they call a neutral zone. And that's where all this stuff is running if it's above ground. And then sometimes I've watched them, they have to come right down to the pole, drill underground, 100 or two strands, and then come back up again.
So if we can get all of that,
yeah.
So that we have all of those issues addressed, yeah. Or at least somebody that can answer.
Yeah, because it gets crazy.
Those details.
Yeah. And replacing stuff that they do. That's something else that they're bad about. Hate to say it.
I agree. All right.
Okay.
Actually, thank you guys for taking the opportunity to go that and get the information to bring it back to council.
Oh,
item 8F. Update, discussion, and possible action on Ben Zingelman Road reconstruction project, our favorite agenda item.
All right, so as of right now, they're complete with the concrete on phase two. They went ahead and did some of the work 2 weeks ago. They did the gutters, and then they went back and did the sidewalks. Of course, they had a couple of rain delays. As of now, I don't have the information, or I haven't been given the information as to when they're going to complete the asphalt there. However, I'm expecting they'll do it sometime next week, depending on the weather.
I know this horse has been beat so many times. Am I wrong? I thought that they would not get to two until we completely signed off on one. Did I miss that, or was I?
When Mark with Forge Engineering, and I'm not sure if you were at that meeting, I'm not really sure, but he said that they were giving them a partial pass so that they could, or a partial approval so that they could go ahead and move into that phase two piece, but they were still, the mailboxes had to be done.
How do you run out of mailboxes?
But they were coming back so that they could do all the grades together at one time rather than having the machines roll back and forth, but that the job, each phase technically isn't being signed off on until the whole job is complete because they're holding that right to make sure that phase one or each of those phases is complete.
So when does the final punch list come for phase one? Does anybody know?
After three.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going
to
go through.
Phase three, so they have to finish phase three and go back.
Then we're going to go back to the start.
Right, then one through three has to be inspected again to make sure they've finished the punch list and take care of everything else, and they won't be able to move forward.
So, in other words, at some point in time, there is a come to Jesus meeting where everything gets done before we go past that.
Yes.
And it's going to be my house, right?
Yours is phase.
I knew that. See there? I knew that was coming.
It's phase three.
Yeah, I know. I just, yes.
No,
I,
he was
next.
So I did, since we just mentioned mailboxes, though, I did have a question because I was approached by a resident that lived in that area, and he said, I thought they were replacing my mailbox. How come I have my mailbox? So when Mark was here, he led us to believe that the only people that were keeping their own mailbox was the ones who said, no, I don't want your new mailbox. I want to keep mine. So was that that whole mailbox question, was that a question that was asked by SAC? Or was that a question that was asked by us, or Ford for that matter?
There was a couple of residents that requested to keep their mailboxes, and they didn't want it there because the mailboxes that it had before, they were able to move them. And these, the mailboxes that we have now, they're set in the concrete. The poles are there, but they put their mailboxes on the side, so.
I had advised this resident to call the city if, in fact, they didn't get a new mailbox.
Yeah.
Because it was my understanding that in that first block, there were two residents.
Yes.
Who, when the project manager first went out to discuss mailboxes with them, those two residents said, "No, I want my original mailbox put back." And the ones that could be put back were the ones that were on a pole. So if it was like a brick mailbox or something else, you could not put that
right.
Back.
He was not one of the two that said he wanted his original mailbox.
Yeah, so in that case, you would contact me.
So I advise them to contact the city now.
Yeah, there's one that is decorated, the base kind of. Mm-hmm. As long as it maintains, well, that square has been filled in and that steel post is set. Okay, so they can remove that or cut it out, and is concrete there's into that?
I can't answer that question right now. I don't think
that's what I'm trying to figure out, because it can't be. Well, I understand that, but they want the whole thing.
Are you talking your phase?
No.
Or the first phase. Okay.
Okay. They need to call us and we can discuss that, because
that's what I told them.
The
mailbox has to fit onto the new base and everything.
It's sinking and cracking.
Where?
The asphalt on the Happiness past ground or crest right there.
That's being addressed as well.
So, also, you had sent us the information on the spoil, so if you could address those results.
Yeah, the results of the spoil is so far as that it passed. It passed to be able to be used under the sidewalks only. So that's going to be another thing we're going to have to watch and make sure they don't put it anywhere other than where they're laying out the sidewalks.
So considering that you cannot be with them the entire time, nor Ford Engineering will be there with them the entire time, what is it that we or they can do to ensure that what they're doing meets that guideline?
Whenever I go over there every day. So whenever I am going over there, they don't know what time or when I'm going. I always show up at different times. Sometimes first thing in the morning. Sometimes I'll go at 12:30. So if they're doing something they're not supposed to, it's a long way, I'll more likely catch them and stop them. The main thing is that they need to make sure they take the asphalt chunks out of there. So they're going to have to filter all of that. And that's going to be a big thing, too, that we got to keep an eye on. When they're doing it, they're backfilling. When I go inspect it, they tamp it, and I inspect the rebar and everything. But I also pick a little spot. I get my knife, and I dig down a little bit to see how thick the base is, because I had stopped them before over on Happiness. So where I went over there with my knife, and it's called for, I think, 6 inches, and I went and dug it out with my knife, and it wasn't even 2 inches. So I made them redo all of that. So it's part of my inspections. I'll be able to tell.
Well, I know you're doing it, but I thought that, and I specifically asked, what is it? I always forget his name. I'm so sorry. Yeah. If they were going to pull core samples prior to coming back and laying the finish to make sure exactly what you're speaking about. And he said, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought he said they were going to do that. Because, see, that's what happened on Kirby Drive. We let them do the whole thing, and then they went and pulled a core sample and found out that the base wasn't proper, and that's why we went over and went to the bonding company, which didn't do us any good. That cost us another $10,000.
Well, according to what they're supposed to be doing is they're not supposed to put any more in, not supposed to bring any more into Gaiety because it was tested, and that is the only material that they are supposed to be using.
But see, what he's saying is that when you pull the core, once they've done the layers, to make sure that the different materials are compacted completely before you do the overlay.
Right.
And that's what we didn't do on Kirby Drive. And when they finally went ahead through the bonding company, when they defaulted and they pulled the core samples, that's why when it went to the edge, where there was no curb or whatever, I can't remember what it was exactly right now, but I remember, I think Jerry remembers that they were about that much negative on what they were supposed to have in there. Mm. So that's what I was asking. We don't have Ford Engineering should have a core sampling machine.
Well, they contracted out through areas.
Okay.
And so then whenever the,
doing
the
today. I did that today.
Yeah, and it's required whenever the coring, where and when they're called out, they go do the sampling, and then Ford Engineering gets a ticket and a receipt and the results of all of that. The same thing goes to with material as well. I mean, they're supposed to get tickets on everything.
I noticed on the north side that they started putting it up to put the cement up. Is that Bill, what's his name, that little plaque thing there? They took the front of it, the front lip of it off. On Ben Zingelman, right there. On the senior center?
The plaque?
Yeah, you know that little plaque thing that's sitting there?
Yeah. So you're talking about the foot that what it sets on, the actual front part of it?
Yeah, I'm talking about, the foot that it sets on.
Mm-hmm.
They took off that front lip. So I don't know, if you're going to, I guess it's going to have to be moved back because that curb's going to come up anyway.
Yeah.
So you're, okay.
Yeah, we'll look at that. Right. Probably get my guys to move it.
Please. Bill Stewart, that's who it is. I think that's
his. So on phase one, though, I'm going to phase two. Phase one, obviously, there's issues. But they're being moved to phase two. And so how soon phase three?
Well, I haven't gotten the report from
that.
So I'm thinking
do we have a guesstimate? Like,
for Christmas.
I would think phase three would start.
That's actually where I'm going with that.
Thank you.
Because we are... I mean, obviously the holidays come and people spend time with their families and families come in and, if they're having a hard time getting through or it's unsafe, I mean, that's my concern is that they're going to be right there and then everything is going to be a big fat mess right at Christmas.
Well, the thing is where it takes the most time is doing the concrete work, and they already got it milled. Concrete work's already in there, so they got to go back and do the overlay, the asphalt, and that be done in a week or 3 days, maybe depending on weather. They got the milling machine; they rent it, so they have to be done with it pretty quickly. So I would say in the next 2.5-3 weeks, they should be starting phase three, maybe the beginning of December, giving that Thanksgiving holiday. So. I would say maybe the beginning of December.
And so what days won't they, are they only not going to work on Thanksgiving Day?
Well, see, their schedules, they're only allowed to work on the days that we're here.
Right.
So they can't work on the Friday after Thanksgiving. Okay. They can't come in and do that.
Okay.
They can't work Saturdays or Sundays or any of our holidays.
Right.
They have a schedule and they are notified as to when we have our days, our holidays. So
Okay. They're
not allowed to be working. And then I have somebody here every day. So I also instruct them when they come and check the wells and the chlorine residuals, drive by the job sites and make sure nobody's working. If they are, they'll report it to me and I'll come from the house and stop them. So,
I mentioned it before, I'm just going to ask, it's not like the end of the world, this one isn't, but the different finishes on the concrete work, some is smooth, some is brush type, not consistency. It looks like one guy got out there one day with a broom on half of them, and the other guy out there with a squeegee. So you got some smooth, some broom finish.
See, when concrete work, They had the first contractor, subcontractor. They got rid of that one.
Right.
They got a second subcontractor that they're working with now. Then they got some of their own in-house guys doing it.
Right.
Concrete initially, whenever you're doing it, the best way to do it is use a horsehair brush. Mm-hmm. And then also to make sure that it's not quite dry but almost there. And when you brush it, it should be smooth. There shouldn't be water or anything. If they're in a hurry and they brush it when it's still wet, you get that rough, ugly texture. If they finish it and they're in a rush and they forget to brush it, or they wait too long and they try to brush it, and you don't get very much texture at all. So I think the inconsistency comes with the different contractors that have been
doing it. That's what I kind of figured, one to the other. The only thing I was concerned with is a couple of them are really slick.
In a case like that, when it's slick, they can be told to go back and take those areas out and redo them. And that's part of the inspection before we sign off. We're going to go through 1, 2, and 3, go back and have everybody there, including Ford and the owner of the company, and pinpoint. I got my camera, got my USB, and take pictures of every little thing. And
it would be nice for them to do that when it's raining, to go look at that area.
Well,
and I only say that because when it's dry,
anybody you want to speak to in particular to get it to rain that day?
It's a very, no, I'm saying because we're having so many rain days that, you know, because of the fact that it literally pulls in areas that it hadn't.
Yep.
So.
What?
Well, the Ford engineering goes every Friday. I stop by every day. If it's raining and they're not out there, usually I'll drive by and see how it looks. But after that, if they're not out there, you know, I pass by. That's about all I can do, you know. Keep an eye on what's going on. So some of it,
they put a little fill in on the dip there, coming off the.
Yeah. Where you go, Mike? Also, too, whenever it is flowing, the water's flowing. Excuse me. Like we've talked about before, the approaches, you know, the water kind of swells up on the approaches, and then as the volume of water and the rain stops, it'll go back down, and that's engineered to do it that way. So
basically, you live in a flat city. It's been farmland since about 1890.
Right. That gumbo dirt.
They took the trees and the rocks and everything away and just made it flat.
Does anybody else have any questions for Gilbert?
I have a question. It's a silly one. We were driving down Ben Zingelman at the bridge, and on my side of Ben Zingelman, they have the drainage going under the bridge. But on the other side, I thought it had drainage going that way where the water would drain off. And Gary goes, no, it's never been open there.
Nope.
So has it never been open there, or did they just, when they made the sidewalks?
That's the way it's, so they haven't
it's
done
always
it.
Been
yeah,
that way.
They haven't done anything different out there.
I always thought that they had drainage off on both sides of the road.
It's got to flow this way. So it's going to flow this way. It's going to come in this way.
We were having that discussion.
The way the crown and the road and everything's set up, it's going to flow south and then hit that area.
It's going to go towards I-10 and to the east.
Okay, to the beach. Okay, we were just discussing that.
Anybody else have any questions for Gilbert or for our city staff?
I think we beat him to death.
I do have to say that this week they did not leave any trash when they left today.
Ooh. Spiffy.
Okay. Big plus.
Thanks, Gilbert.
Thank you.
Because they buried it all.
Monique, did you need to add anything?
Oh, I do have. Did you ever check on this, I guess, on the mailboxes? Did you ever get a hold of anybody?
Someone at the post office. They got all of our information. They said they have to coordinate it to the project manager and phase it with the project. So they would. They got all that contact information for SAC's office. And they said they can do them temporarily as they're working on them.
There you go, Mike. You don't have to worry about your mail.
Put at your front door.
And the only other thing is that even though the signage is there, people still continue to drive through it, not people that live there. And so that's something that I, especially with the phase 3 being much larger area.
They drive through it. They don't even stop at stop signs.
No, they don't.
Stop sign.
Exactly. All right, thank you. Item 8G, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-848, repealing current section 94.02 of the Code of Ordinances and adopting a new section 94.02 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Kirby in regard to notices to owners or occupants to abate nuisances. This is the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion. We accept ordinance O-2018-848, repealing current section 94.02 of the Code of Ordinance and adopting a new section 94.02 of the Code of Ordinance of the City of Kirby in regarding to notices to owners of occupants to abate nuisance.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept ordinance number O-2018-848. Is there any discussion? Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Abadaka?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Ordinance number O-2018-848 passes for the second reading. Item 8H, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-849, amending the sign ordinance in Chapter 154 of the Code of Ordinances to add provisions related to digital signs and monument signs. This is the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept ordinance number O-2018-849, amending the sign ordinance in Chapter 154 of the Code of Ordinances to add a provision related to digital signs and monument signs.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept ordinance number O-2018-849. Is there any discussion? Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember
Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember
Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Abadaka?
Yes.
Mayor
Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Yes. Ordinance number O-2018-849 passes for the second reading. Item 9A, request by Mayor and Council members for items to be placed on future City Council agendas and announcements on city events, community interest. Councilmember Abadaka.
I've had a couple of customers approach me about the car that is parked at the Dollar General parking lot. I've driven by there a couple of times. I've never seen anyone in the car. It doesn't look like anyone would fit in the car to actually sleep in the car. What's going on with that? Is that allowed? Does the property manager need to throw them out or?
No, it's not allowed. Yes, it does. We have already addressed it both from the police officer's point of view and code compliance, and the property owner assured us that he would take the steps to have it
Okay, because I told them that I didn't think it was a something that the city could go in there and throw them out. You guys would have to handle that.
The car is actually owned by a homeless man who's trying to figure out where he's going to go.
Right.
It's my understanding the transmission on the car went out, so he's kind of strained there. But Officer Thompson did go talk to him and then talk to Mr. Lebowski. I always pronounce that wrong. The actual owner of the strip center where the Dollar General is, and they're working on getting it to a good resolution as soon as possible.
Okay. All right.
Councilmember
Wilson? I do. Someone at church Sunday told me that they had a hamburger at a food, what do they call them?
Food truck.
The food truck. Do we have one here in Kirby? She said she bought it on Seguin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it at?
That's on Old Seguin Road. It's called Burger Pot.
Burger's Pot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Swim.
And she said it was really a good burger, and I thought, okay, well, I don't know where it is. But, okay, I'll check that out tomorrow since I'm home alone. And then Norma's not here, but I'd like to thank the Senior Center for having the food bank out and passing out their turkeys and Didn't they have turkey and bread and crackers and black beans? And then can we get a food report, inspection report? When was the last time we got one of those from the new people? I know that you have to have them periodically done, and be interesting just to see where we stand on that. And I think that's all. Oh, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We won't be meeting till then.
Darn.
Mayor Pro Tem Odgert.
Is there any way we can get a hold of the people from Church's Chickens to repair the entrance to their parking lot?
Oh, I already know the lady. I've already addressed that once before. I'll do it. I already know who to call. Yep.
Because somebody's going to lose the front end.
Yeah, see, they filled it in once. And they just washed it. They didn't do a real good job. Yeah.
They wash it?
Wash it. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Thanks for everybody coming out. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'd like to, for us to get something on the agenda. I talked to city manager a month ago maybe about this. And since y'all seen it at TML and y'all went to one of the meetings about the economical development group because they had a lot of money, we've got a little bit left on our tax scale, and I would like to see us talk about it and see what we can do, possibly taking another 1/8% or something, or 1/4%, and get it into the EDC budget, or everywhere it would end up going, and build that up so that we could go out and buy some of this trashy property, redo it, and then resell it. So I'd like to get this on the agenda for us to discuss it, take a look at it, and see what has to be done.
Do you want a specific meeting? Like before Christmas, after the New Year, what?
Well,
our next one
I don't
is
know.
November 29th.
If we need a special meeting to start with, or
we can just do it during the account, the normal. But did you want to go December, or so that Monique can get that information gathered and?
Yeah, we can wait till December. I mean, it's okay. No big deal. I mean, it's been out there.
December.
We've talked about it, and I've thought a little bit more about it, and then when you brought it up, it rang a bell in my brain again to push forward for it.
We'll bring that in first.
But have a happy Thanksgiving.
Councilmember Gray.
Yes.
One of my favorite old subjects, the gentleman down here building his garage again. I know this is going to sound petty, but I actually think we need to define what is a carport. Because apparently, and this is not Patty's fault, the gentleman came in and dictated to her what he considered to be a carport. A carport to me is like the first one over here, the blue house, where it's six poles and a roof, no sides. That is a carport. Anything going past that, when you start to enclose it, is a whole different story. This gentleman down here, and apparently, Patty, the gentleman got the permit. He described apparently what he wanted to do. And since we don't have a definite, because I looked like crazy, and there's none. A carport is just an innocuous word, but this gentleman again is now enclosing. He put up framework, put up the ceiling, the deal. Now he's putting sides on it again. So, and I swear to God, if he puts a door on there, oof, I'm sending termites over there. But no, it's the point I'm trying to say to this, folks, is that we try to keep things pretty much on an even keel. And everybody gets treated the same, you know? And we have people, and this guy, he's dumb like a fox. He sits back and he just kind of takes what's going on. And then he figures where the soft spot is, and that's what he does. This guy, you know, and he's obviously an old-time sheet metal worker because he's making all that crap in the yard fit. And he's doing a good job of it. But again, we're going to have a building where it should be a carport. If you want to build a building, I got no problem with it. But it's different inspections. It's different definitions of what it is. That's all I'm saying. Simply, if you want to do it, say it. Come up to and ask us, you know. He already got turned down on putting it back into the foot of the street because we know it's going to widen. And it's just, with some people, you know, I wanted everything to be equal. And he goes to the building, and they just gave it to him, apparently. Whatever his plans were, he said go.
Mooney, can you and Chief just look at that? All right.
I mean, I hate to be that, but it's just kind of one of those things that's, it just kind of goes on and on, you know. And I don't want somebody coming back and say, well, you let him do that. Well, you know, yeah.
We'll have Chief and Monique look at it. And
I don't know, if Monique, if this is asking too much, and if it is, tell me now, because can we possibly, just possibly, find the meeting when Mr. Winters was here and made the presentation, the original presentation for the facility, and all of the promises and everything that was presented to us? Because my memory has gone south totally.
So is that, because I recall one meeting, I can go back and I know I can find
I think there was two meetings. No, I'm talking about the original promise. It's been about 2 years.
It would have been before, like, the early part of 2017.
Yeah, I know it was on the agenda, and she's about right, because here's what there were certain things in there that were said that I thought I remembered, and I don't have a perfect memory by any means.
Mr. Kim was here as well.
Yeah, but I would like to see what the gentleman said about the phases and so forth.
Mr. Kim did.
For a meeting, like an internal meeting, right when I first got here, probably in 2014.
I was out there, but he came to council and he was telling what the phases
were. Matter of fact, yes, she was here because you were the latest, yeah. And what it was, because I remember, I think, that certain things were laid out as to how it would progress.
So you want the minutes from that?
I would like to, if you could edit it, and I hate to do that to you, edit what he said, you know, and outlining what he said the county was going to do for us. Like, for instance, just to give an instance, what I remember him coming here saying, we're going to build it, we want to do it in four phases. First phase is going to be this. The second phase, you will have the option of picking, and that probably is going to be the office and the operating facility.
Only going to be what former Mayor Wilson had said, because there was something where they came and then it was like, no, you're not going to do that piece because there has to be a bathroom.
Right. That was the thing about that.
So it's going to be that one.
Yes. So that's the PowerPoint that they showed that night.
Right.
Right.
I think that's what, because the one I'm saying is that
15,
when they started talking about how and what they were going to do, because when I go look at the county budget, this the one they just adopted, we didn't even get that didn't even get a mention. So we died in committee somewhere. And that's the point of it is, I'm swearing to you that man said it was like a done deal. That's what I want to find out. I want, before we really speak to these people in mediation, I would like to have that information to say, look, this is what you said to us at the get-go, and this is what was sold to us at the get-go. And if I'm wrong, then I apologize, but I think I'm right. Okay? Thank you all, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and putting up with me.
I don't know if I can follow all that. Thank city staff. Thank our department heads and their employees underneath them. Thank you, everybody in the audience. Again, have a safe Thanksgiving. This Sunday is Veterans Day. It'll be observed on Monday, but I just want to say thank you to all of our veterans leading the way.
We'll visit Fort Sam and say thank you.
Yeah, my father's out there.
I got three.
Is it done?
So I would like to thank again our EDC for giving us an update, and with what they were speaking with as far as the business directory, I believe that's something that we can also help with when we're visiting establishments within Kirby, just to, you know, extend the invitation for them to get on to the website and let them know about the business directory, you know, and then maybe word of mouth. So not only that, since several of us, you know, are different areas of the city. So each time, just remind everybody, hey, why don't you go to the, you know, go to the website, get to the business directory. There was some individuals that were going around the city today dropping off flyers on doors regarding water testing. So I just want everybody to know that the city is not water testing. It is actually an environmental group who's trying to get people to buy their products. So if you do hear residents asking, hey, I got this, because their letter is fairly official looking. It's asking for very various information, like how many people you have in your household, and do you do this and do you that, and give me a phone number and give me an address, are you own the home. So our city manager is aware of that, and so they'll be addressing the public as well. But if everybody can just pass that on, that it is not something that is from the city of Kirby. They've come out ever so often, because I've seen next door, and they've been doing it in Sunrise and Candlewood too. So just let everybody know that that's not something that's by our city. The small cell agenda item, if we can have that, if the November 29th is as soon as enough time, if we can get that on the agenda. If not, if we can do it the first meeting in December. Again, the food bank, I echo Debbie's sentiments as far as I think that's a great outreach for the senior center, so hopefully the food bank will continue. Because again, that's another avenue that brings people into Kirby, because it's not only for Kirby residents. So, and I think it complements the faith-based people too, that are, you know, trying to be good stewards of the community and helping people when they need it. Speaking of, the cold weather is coming, so be cognizant of people that may not be as fortunate as people, and they may need blankets. So reach out to the churches to see if, you know, there's a need there. And I would like to, there is also a vacancy for planning and zoning, sorry. So again, anybody here that knows anyone, or anyone up here that has somebody, we'd like, you know, we really need somebody there that's not afraid to be the bad person if they have to be, because like Councilmember Grant said, there are some things that come forward, and it's not personal, it's just what's good for Kirby. That was the other thing leading into that we talked about at the EDC meeting at the Business Alliance, was the fact that in an effort to bring businesses in, that we need to clean up our own backyard. And so that FM 78 was going to have a lot of attention focused on it, because Quick Trip is coming in, and usually when Quick Trip comes in, other businesses follow Quick Trip because of the following that Quick Trip brings in itself. So that is something that I would, again, like to focus on, for the city to focus on, is our business code compliance. Again, I've said this pretty much every meeting. When you drive into the city of Kirby from Ackerman and 10, the very first thing you see is that big field with a bunch of vehicles in it. Some of them look stuck, but there's tires laid up against that, and it's been there for months. You go right next door to Boatman, and there is a Food Mart / U-Haul, but you don't even know what it is because there is signage doesn't even read correctly. So those are things that those are little things, and I think that just getting those addressed makes a big difference when you're driving through the city, because it won't matter the efforts of the EDC or the city to try to bring stuff in here, if those little pieces are, people are going to turn around and say, I don't want my business here. You know, so I think it's extremely important that we all work together. We have staff that, yes, they drive the city and they're code compliance, but at the same time, it's up to us. So if you see something, please report it to code compliance. Please contact our city manager so that we can all be in this together and help each other out. I would like to, on the heels of our ordinance for animals, I do know that we had previously talked about making it mandatory for microchipping. So I would like to, on the heels of that, start thinking about having a microchip drive only. Doesn't have to be vaccinations and stuff, but I think, you know, we have plenty of places that, I mean, even Friendship Park or something that people could come to, you know, to get their animals microchipped, and then that way it shouldn't take long to microchip each animal and people take advantage of it. And I think that's something that we need to talk up and have multiple things. There is tons of animals throughout our community, and those microchips help get the animals back and at least hold people accountable for dumping their animals as well. And thank you, everybody, for coming, and thank you to our staff, and well wishes to Patty. And that have the Thanksgiving.
Yes, ma'am. I have work to do.
What happened?
Called the tree down.